So I had a friend, and he said he's going to become an aristocrat, and I hadn't thought about it, and he says, would you like to go with me? So I went with him, and they accepted us, and I would become a gang member.
Stai gute! Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. On today's program, we'll hear from an elder who, because of the Relocation Act, grew up in the heart of Chicago. As a young man, he got caught up in the gang life and the violence that comes with it.
My name is Robert DeCora, which is a Ho-Chunk name. I am registered as an Oneida Indian, having been born on the Oneida Reservation by Green Bay, Wisconsin. And my dad was Oneida and Ho-Chunk. My mother was Nakota Sioux, or Assiniboine, from the Fort Belknap Reservation in Montana. I am now an Indian elder, but early in my life, I'd go through a number of experiences, whether on the reservation where I was born and experiencing the Indian Relocation Act, where we would eventually end up in Chicago on the north side, where most Indians were relocated to the uptown area. Like many Native Americans, we weren't exactly rich. Six of us would inhabit the same bedroom until later as we grew up, and my parents saw that we needed to go ahead and get another bedroom, so the girls could be in one room and the boys could be in another room. Four sisters, two brothers. Well, like most Indians that relocated to the Chicago, my life in many ways centered around the American Indian Center. There, we would attend all the children's programs and would receive gifts for Christmas, and we would go to Indian bowling, where I can remember my family doing that every Saturday. We go to Indian swimming, Indian basketball, and Native baseball, softball league. And these are the things we would do, as well as attend the powwows. Well, growing up, like most Natives, our lives centered around going back to the Oneida Reservation for summertime to be with our grandparents and aunts and uncles, so we were rich in that way, having an experienced family. And then we would also go alternate at times to go to Montana to the Assiniboine Reservation. Early on as a child on the Assiniboine Reservation, I remember my grandmother. Her name was Juanita Tucker, born in 1897. She had, quote-unquote, the gifts of prophecy amongst Natives, and she could tell you future. Later, she would give her heart to the Lord Jesus, and she discovered that the spirits that were giving her power, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. So she submitted her gifts of prophecy to the Lord, and she lost them. And now she trusted that the Spirit of God would guide her. I always remember my grandmother doing Native works. She was famous for her quill dolls. She was famous for her beadwork. I have many of them. She taught me how to bead. She taught me how to make moccasins, how to create a loom, and how to do my own belt or headband or make a pouch. She taught me these things as we visited, and I would just sit there with her on the reservation. But she prayed every morning, which amazed me that she'd be on her knees for 15 minutes, 30 minutes praying. And I would say, Grandma, what are you doing? She says, my children, she had 12 of them, are scattered all across this country. And I'm praying for my children, that God would protect them, that God would bless them, that God will be with them. And that impressed me how she prayed. And she would end up taking me to a little church in Zortman. Now, if you've ever been to Zortman, they've got a little single jail cell. They have a massive bar. And that's what we grew up with, alcohol all of our life, which I began to get into trouble beginning at seventh grade, regularly drinking. But that church was up on a hill. And I imagine as an adult, it could not seat more than 20 people. Little thing, the smallest little church I've seen. Now, my mother, because when they grew up, they had grown up Catholic. And my dad, when he grew up Episcopalian. So as a child growing up, I would alternate at times going to the Catholic Church and Mass. And I would also go to the Episcopal Church if I happened to be in Oneida. But locally there in Chicago, the closest church for us to go to was quote-unquote a non-denominational church, where we basically would go every Sunday. We'd be given maybe 2 or 3 pennies, a nickel at the most, and we would stop and get our candy. All the candies were 1 penny. If you wanted to really make it go far, you could get 2 large pretzels, 2 for 1 cent. So you felt like you ate something. And then we'd go to Sunday school, and that was our growing up. Well, if you live in inner city Chicago, which we did, it was a rich environment in that we lived in the most diversified neighborhood in all of Chicago. We also lived in the most alcoholic neighborhood in all of Chicago. I grew up in what I call the bar after the bar closed in Chicago. So I knew all the native people. They'd be at my house, and I'd wake up in the middle of the night and visit with different ones. And I can remember Cubby and others. And I'd re-wake up. They'd give me a few pennies or nickel or quarter as I was passing through everybody. And then I'd go back to bed. I'd wake up, and everybody's just passed out in the chairs wherever they were. And so that's how we grew up. And that was life. And that's what I began to do, is just drink on a regular basis, primarily on the weekends. That's what I witnessed. And so that's what I became. And I'm sad and sorry to go back in time to say, when my brother thought he was dying from gangrene, what did I do? I medicated myself. And that's what I think alcohol is, medicating yourself from your pain. And so I got drunk. And so I staggered back into my grandmother's home. Where have you been? Where'd you get the alcohol? And so there I go, get to my grandmother's home, pass out. And now I look at it as an adult, shamed, seventh grade. But in eighth grade in Chicago, once again, being too stupid on a school night, not knowing what to do with alcohol, drank about a quart of wine. I've got a curfew at 9:30, and I stagger home. And my mother says, "Where you been?" By the time she says, "Where you been?" A Sunday school teacher who knew me followed me home and said, "Your son's been out drinking by our seminary." My mother said, "You shouldn't be drinking," or whatever, in front of her. And I just went and laid down and passed out. And then just hanging out, doing your thing. That was my growing up. 1967, Indians won the right to gather in mass, where you could gather in public. So what ended up happening? The first powwows began publicly. Now, were there powwows? Yeah, in secret on some reservations, but now on Oneida, there I participated in the very first one as a child. During the day, my grandmother said, "Could you be a clown?" I said, "I don't know how to be a clown." She says, "Well, I'll teach you." So she painted me all up, dressed me all up, And the Indian parade went, and I'm throwing candy out to the crowd. And they gave me a prize for being a clown. And they cleaned up, went to the powwow, danced around, and that's the way it was. And in Chicago, we go to either the Indian Center or the powwows, or you go to the armory for a big one. And because I knew the director, and we lived within a block of each other, and I hung out at times of the sun, he would say, would you like to ride with us to the powwow? I would say, well, yes, and so we would go. Well, I became involved with a street gang, young. I didn't hang out too much at that point, and that was with the Black Saints, but I was considered a peewee Black Saint. And then the Black Saints, if I remember correctly, had become aristocrats. So I had a friend, and he said he's going to become an aristocrat, and I hadn't thought about it, and he says, would you like to go with me? So I went with him, and they accepted us, and I would become a gang member. Now, during that time, you experience violence. All growing up, I'd been attacked with knives a number of times. One time, somebody running at me and my friends running from me. And he had a knife, and he's ready to plunge it in me. And I jumped as high as I could get in the air. I mean high. And I kicked with all my might, caught him in the chest. And the knife went flying. And he just sat there cursing me out, didn't do anything. Well, he was Golden Gloves, and he was also a wrestler. So a week later, he challenged me, and there we go again. But during the gangs, I'd end up being forced into a fight. What had happened is we're sitting on church steps, all getting drunk, and some guy said, could you move down and stuff? Why? I'm rapping to this girl. I said, yeah, I'll move down. So the leader calls me over and says, what'd you do? He says, I mean, the man's rapping to his girl. You gonna take that? Take what? He said, move down the step. You don't take that. And I says, well, it don't bother me. He says, you either fight him or you fight me. Take your pick.
Well, we've run out of time, but we hope you'll join us for the amazing conclusion to Robert's story. Without giving away too much, we can say that this wasn't his last fight, but his biggest battle wasn't with gangsters. It was with himself. The truth is, it's the same for all of us. Until we come to the end of ourselves and walk humbly with our Creator, there will be no peace, no hope, and no power to change what really matters in this life. So how do we walk humbly with God? It begins by recognizing that we have dishonored and offended Him, and that we can only be restored on His terms. And what are His terms? Listen to Jesus' words. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. If you want to know more, we have a free resource we'd like to send you called What If? Ask for it when you write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. You can also request it online at our website, withoutreservation.com, or on Facebook at Without Reservation. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's more to Robert's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.